Well, Helen and I are really thrilled to be here with you on my first visit to Oslo and to St. Edmund's Church. I live in Brussels, and we have lived there for the last 14 years. For the last 5 years, I have been Bishop of the Church of England Diocese in Europe. That means I look after about 300 congregations across 42 countries in Europe and Western Russia, Morocco and Turkey. I'm assisted by Bishop David, my suffragan bishop, who has particular responsibility for the Anglican ministry in the Nordic and Baltic states. Our good friend Helen Campbell was here at St. Edmund's while she was EU ambassador to Norway, and several times she invited us to stay, but we never quite made it. So I've been really grateful for a warm invitation from Darren to come this weekend for our confirmation service. I do many things as a bishop, like appointing and looking after our priests and trying to build a supportive and effective diocese. But one of the things that I enjoy most in my ministry is conducting services of confirmation. And that's because a confirmation service is about witnessing to and building faith in Jesus Christ. And that's really at the heart of my mission as a bishop, building Christian faith. In a few minutes, you, our candidates, will be making for yourselves the baptismal promises made on your behalf by parents and godparents when you were much younger, most of you when you were babies. And you'll be declaring your desire to follow Jesus and to submit to him as Lord. And for me as a bishop, and indeed for all of us who are adult Christians, it is a huge encouragement to hear a new generation of Christian believers make that affirmation. Following Jesus, living as a Christian today, is not an easy option. I met recently with the leaders of Open Doors, the Dutch organisation founded by Brother Andrew that supports the persecuted church. And I was reminded that Christians are persecuted by the state in North Korea and China. Young Christians are kidnapped by Boko Haram in northern Nigeria. They can be murdered for opposing the drug cartels in South America. Whilst in the Middle East, Christian presence is so threatened that we can use the word genocide. And so the Foreign Secretary of the UK, Jeremy Hunt, has commissioned an inquiry into the fate of Christians who are persecuted throughout the world, led by my colleague, Bishop Philip Mann-Stephen. Globally, it is tough to be a Christian. It really is. Here in Western Europe, we're fortunate to enjoy freedom of religion and belief. But Christian faith is still not fashionable, and churches are not often filled with people, as our churches today. And young people can be teased or humiliated for following Jesus, and holding to a Christian ethic and lifestyle is challenging and countercultural. So what's available to help and support us? Confirmation is about confirming and strengthening faith. So where do we find encouragement? Let me suggest two things. First, in our gospel reading, Jesus says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I said to you." Jesus tells his disciples he is going away. He's leaving the earth. He will no longer be physically with the disciples, and he's not physically with us either. So how is God present to us, and how do we know his love? St. John says God doesn't leave us as orphans. God sends the Holy Spirit to be with us always. The Holy Spirit makes the distant God real. The Holy Spirit makes the transcendent God personal. The Holy Spirit makes the invisible God intimate. And so at the heart of this service today is the Bishop's Prayer for you, our candidates, to receive the Holy Spirit. It is a powerful prayer based on words from the prophet Isaiah, for you to know and receive the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and inward strength, the spirit of knowledge and true godliness, that your own desires may be for seeking the Lord. And the point of Christian discipleship, you see, is to lead a Jesus-shaped life in whatever our vocation or calling or circumstances. But you can't do that in your own strength. It is too difficult, and the powers of the world, the flesh and the devil will knock you off course. You need, as we all need, God himself to breathe within us, to energize and strengthen us. And so I will say to each of you, as I lay my hands on your head, confirm, O Lord, your servant with your Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, God gives us the community of the church. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. In fact, God's love is made known tangibly through the love we experience from our Christian brothers and sisters. And in confirmation, you are made full communicant members of the worldwide church, and in particular, the Anglican part of that church. We are a community of some 80 million people. We're present across Europe, though the majority of our members these days are in the global south. Sometimes said the average Anglican is a 25-year-old woman in Nigeria. And that means wherever you travel, though, you won't be far from an Anglican church where you can find fellowship and support. Now, we're living at a time when nations are turning in on themselves, and fear of strangers and migrants has become a strong political force. This weekend is a critical weekend, isn't it, for the future of Europe. And at this time, I think it is especially important that Christians build bridges of love and respect between people from different nations and backgrounds and colours. And we can do that within our congregations and between our congregations. That's why it's so good to come to a church which is a rainbow community, as we are here this morning. The church is not just a group of people who are like us. We're all different from one another, different ages and backgrounds and nationalities. And the real joy and miracle of church life is when we find unity and harmony across difference and diversity. That is a great witness to a world which struggles with difference and which is fearful of the stranger. And I hope that you are confirmation candidates will be part of that exciting project to build a community where Christian love is given and received across boundaries and borders of all kinds. So as I begin to draw to a close, in this short passage from St. John, the Gospel writer looks forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, who makes the absent Jesus present to us, and encourages Christians to be practitioners of a love so strong and countercultural that others will come to a knowledge of God through their example. So what I hope and long for from this confirmation service is that it would, for you, be an experience of the overwhelming love of God, that you would know yourself powerfully loved by God and by this church community today. That is how I experienced my own confirmation service. I was confirmed at the age of 15, 44 years ago. And at that point, I had no idea at all that I might one day go into ordained ministry, still let alone ever become a bishop. But my own confirmation has always been a real source of strength for me. You are candidates, embody the present and the future of our church. Your lives, for most of you, stretch ahead of you, full of possibility. And no doubt your parents and families have all kinds of hopes and dreams for what you might be. And I hope that your lives will be filled with sunshine. But darker days may come, as they come to most of us at some time or another. And if and when that happens to you, I hope that you'll be able to look back on your confirmation day as a time when you knew for sure the love of God and the love of the church community for you. Because a powerful memory like that is one of the strongest supports and comforts that you can know in coping with hard times. Today, the bishop lays his hands on you and says, God has called you by name and made you his own. And I hope that the experience of today will be for you a treasured memory, and I hope that you will always be able to draw strength and comfort and protection from that. Amen.